Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app. Star One Credit Union, in your best interest.
From KQED.
Mic check, check one, check two. Are we here? All right, we're here right now-ish.
What's up, y'all? I'm Pendarvis Harshaw. This week on Right Now-ish, Jamal Truelove. He's a lot of things. He's an actor who played the role of Kofi in the 2019 film The Last Black Man in San Francisco.
Oh, shit. This that house? Hey, Jimmy used to talk about this spot all the time.
He's also a rapper. Under the name 10 Milli Milli, he's dropped a few songs. Some like the braggadocious Pull Up.
They never tell me I would live. Yeah. Always tell me I would never be shit. I'm the shit now.
Others like the introspective track, Deserve.
But what did I do to deserve this? Life after life, I was buried. They killed me and gave me that verdict. I kept it silent.
When the news broke that Jamal had been framed by the police and falsely convicted of murder, a lot of people became familiar with this story. It was a case that led to him spending over 6 years in prison. The case was overturned in 2015, and he was awarded a multi-million dollar settlement with the SFPD. Now, he says he's mainly focused on music and acting, but currently taking a slight deviation from the arts in order to do some community work. Since March, he's been working with the team to get masks, hand sanitizer, and information out to folks in places that have been hit especially hard by the virus, and where proper supplies are hard to get, like the Bayview, a neighborhood on the southeastern side of San Francisco where they have the most documented cases of COVID-19 in the whole city. He's also going into jails and prisons like San Quentin, where many people are living in fear of the disease, knowing that it's prone to spread to groups of people in close quarters. And it all started when he realized how hard it was to get hand sanitizer and masks for himself. He got proactive, and he reached out to San Francisco's district attorney.
I hit Chaser Boudin because he was one of the only city officials that I knew, and to see it, did they have any type of plan to kind of like, you know, get sanitizer and face masks to the communities.
That got him connected with UCSF's Science Policy Group, who was already working on a plan to get the goods to both underserved communities and incarcerated people in the area.
The initial goal is to get 5,000 bottles of hand sanitizer throughout all the underserved communities in San Francisco and 5,000 face masks. And then their agenda was to get bottles of hand sanitizer into all the jails and all the prisons, at least in Northern California. And that's what we've been up to.
We're talking to Jamal Truelove about leveraging star power in order to reach those in need. Stay tuned.
Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app. Star One Credit Union, in your best interest.
You know, I talked to some of the people who've been working with you, and there's awesome photos of y'all in the lab doing the work, packaging this up. It stands out, man. Like, the first thing you see is you in this hoodie that says, "It takes the hood to save the hood," black man surrounded by a whole bunch of white folks bagging up hand sanitizer to hundreds, if not thousands of people. So what does it mean to do this work, like, in terms of knowing that what you're serving in the black community, you know?
Well, I think it's real important to play a grassroots position in all of this, coming from Project Housing in San Francisco, to be able to be that person on the front line to help with our communities and beyond. You know, they say every hood is the same, you know, just in a different location. So for me, it means a lot to be able to take my platform and my opportunities and relinquish it. Me being able to link with some scientists, which probably never would have been able to convey the same type of energy or message if they were to go just them into these neighborhoods. So me being able to be a face and me being able to communicate in a way that people understand is real key.
You're essentially coming through these neighborhoods where you've established trust. And on top of that, they know your story. They've seen you on the screen. They've seen you in the streets.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, a lot of how we operate in communities is built on trust, and especially in the black community.
When you're out there on the streets or when you're out even in the prisons, How are people responding to you? Bring us in, man. What's it like to walk into Folsom or San Quentin right now?
Well, they're not letting us actually in.
Okay.
You know, they're swinging us around the side and just kind of like dropping off the bottles and getting it to them. Obviously, we would have loved to go inside and kind of like see. But, I mean, look, I lived in those prisons, man, and it ain't no good. It's a health hazard all the way through, especially in San Quentin, especially in Old Folsom. And it's like at least they could do was have accepted this hand sanitizer. And, we appreciate that they even accepted it because there's some jails and prisons who haven't accepted it. You know, we're hoping that they change their mind. But I do get phone calls from cats that's, you know, that's in Quentin and also in Folsom, like, right on, bruh. Now, I mean, good looking. You really doing it, you know, you doing it for us. You understand, like, living in a situation, so forth, so on. So I've been getting a lot of phone calls and thank yous from people on the inside.
Mask and gloves, hella necessary. Like, duh, you need that. But you said the institutions themselves are just health hazards waiting to happen.
Attention needs to be shown on the prison system and the jail system right now when it comes down to testing. And also the sheriffs, making sure that they're getting tested too. And releasing people that has anything less than 2 years, however that needs to happen, and focus on it not becoming a bigger issue in these jails and prisons.
Right. Just specifically about your work and what you're doing right now, both in terms of the activism and the art, it's almost like you're in the role of a role model.
Yeah, but like, you know, like the great Tupac said, I don't want to be a role model because a role model plays a role. I want to be a real model. I remember being in those projects, you know, not really caring about my life, you know, having nihilism in my blood where I didn't care if I died or if I had to shoot somebody, you know, then that's something that I had to do because I had no option. And I had no resources. The projects in the hood is a scary place, man. A scary place. So I want to be able to use my platform and my image to show kids and the youth that's coming up in these communities, and even people my age, that you too can change. You know, you too can rise above.
At what point in your life did you become like interested in politics or even community activism?
I've been into politics ever since the World Trade Center got hit.
Yeah?
Yep. I've been in politics, watching the news, and just being aware. I was actually in juvenile hall when it happened, and they had us locked down where they damn near was going to leave us. They said if something happened in San Francisco, then they were just going to dart out. And that's when I started paying attention to the news a whole lot. And then I started learning about who this president was and all of these different things. I'm like, whoa, like, I thought this person was really cool, but then turned to find out that this person ain't cool. And then it just ended up being something that I just found a lot of interest in.
Yeah, and then from there, you said it's just been growing, huh?
Yeah, it's just been growing. So from there, and then watching the whole war play out, you know, under George Bush, and just understanding, you know, Hurricane Katrina and all of these different significant things that was happening where ultimately I felt like, and a lot of our communities felt like there wasn't enough, and that's why I'm focusing on, you know, the underserved communities here in San Francisco.
Knowing you got that, like, mindset, that philosophy and approach to interacting with people, what's your game plan for the long haul? Do you see yourself involved in politics even further?
I mean, I don't know. I ain't no telling what the future brings. I'm building my career right now in film and still, you know, trying to live my dream in music. But politics is close to me because I love trying to help out the people at the end of the day.
Thank you to Jamal Truelove for sharing your time, your energy, your story with myself and the larger community. You all can follow his work on Instagram at Jamal Truelove. That's Truelove with T-R-U, no E-L-O-V-E. And be on the lookout for more music and film from Jamal and his production company, True Narrative. Thank you to the Right Nowish team for making this happen. Ashley Ann Krigbaum, the producer extraordinaire, our editor, Jessica Plachik, the higher-ups at KQED, that's Erica Aguilar, David Marcus, and Holly Kernan. Before you go, I have a simple ask of you. Whatever platform you're listening to the show on, there's a little button that allows you to share this. Click it. Send it to a friend. And then you can rest assured that you've done your part to support Right Now-ish. I'm your host, Pendarvis Harshaw. Thank you all. Peace. Thank you.